Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Can we all stand for
Amen.
To get ready to honor our Father?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
So I just have this little story I want to share about the little nets in life that bothers us. And when you see a net, normally you're fanning the net to get away from you, and it's constantly bothering you. And so when you're driving and that net is bothering, if you're focused on that net, you're going to crash. And if you crash, then you're going to need another car. So the nets in spiritual warfare is just that, nets. So that don't let that be our focus, but let our focus be the Father.
Yeah.
And let's feign the flames. And let's know that God is able to help us and not be overcome by evil, but overcome the evil with good. I want to go to James chapter 1, verse 12 first. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which is God's promise to those who love him. So when that net come and you love God, remember, it's just a trial. And now I want to go to Psalms 113. I had some interesting things going on. I call them interesting because they have nothing to do with the Word of God. So it's like, how do I incorporate God's word in these interesting things and these interesting individuals as well? And it's to move me out the way and to always lift God up, always lift God up. And the joy that I need and the atmosphere I need to be in will be there. So in 113, God says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised, is not to be, oh God, help me. The Lord is high above the nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord, our God? Who is seated on high? Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifted the needy from the ash and heap to make them sit with princes and with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, make her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. In this Psalms right here, it was just so much. Just the focus is not on our circumstances, and our circumstances are many, and I understand that, and I know we need to intercede and pray. So we're getting ready to pray right now, Father, in the midst of every circumstances.
Yeah.
In the midst of every sickness, in the midst of every evil spirit that's running rapid, killing people, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst, Father God, of all this, Lord, we praise you. In the midst of this, Lord, we trust that there is nothing that is out of your reach. In the midst of all this, Lord, our eyes are not weakened. Our spirit is not downcast. But Lord, we are up in spirit praising you and thanking you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the woman that had the issue of blood, what she did when she knew Jesus was coming, she said, if I can only touch but the hem of his garment. Like Pastor Philip was saying, stretch out your hands spiritually. See yourself delivered. Don't see yourself still connected to things. See yourself delivered and stretch forth your hand, and God can do. He can't press past your will to stay in bondage. So stretch out your hands.
About it too. The hem, the back hem of the type of garment that they wore back then. It's the furthest thing away from his body. We don't even have to get that close. Pastor Joyce was saying, we don't have to get that close. It takes the faith of a mustard seed to just touch the hem. Lord, give us that faith this morning.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
As we desire, Lord, that which you have for us this morning.
Pour out your virtue, Jesus. Let virtue come from your very presence today, Lord, and try out all the issues, Lord, where we have been called out and heard the voices of unclean,
What the Lord has shown me is that we become so used to the chains that bind us, we become so complacent in it that it's scarier to trust Christ, it's scarier to receive his freedom, but we need to be delivered of that spirit of fear to step into the freedom. Who the Son has set free, he is free indeed.
Spoke to me this morning, and it was such a simple word, but it was deep. You've heard it so many times. He said, it's no greater love than when a man lays his life down for his friends. And he began to expound on it. We're his friends. We're his friends. We're his friends. We're his friends. We're his friends.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Because he laid it down. He said, my Father picked you out before the world began.
Amen. That's right.
We're his friends. And that really touched me. And then as I thought about it more and more, the Holy Spirit led me to, you don't have to turn here, I'll read it, to John 17, starting in verse, man, I got tears in my eyes.
Thank you.
He was praying for the disciples, and listen to what he said, starting in verse 6, John 17, 6. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me. Jesus and God was given to each other. Given. That's what caused Jesus to give his life, to lay his life down. They were given to each other. Amen. He gave us to Christ. Christ was with him from the beginning, but he gave us to Christ, and Christ gave us to who? The Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit gave us gifts. Oh my God, look at this. They were given to each other. That's what he wants us to do. Give, give love, help out, look out for each other. That's the difference in between us from the world.
Right.
Oh God,
right.
This is powerful. Watch what he says. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you and that they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those who you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me. Listen to this. So they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. Oh my God.
Amen.
God, he loves us.
He does.
And he wants us to love each other. Show, this week coming up, show somebody who you don't know love. Just give them a kind word. Give them a hug, something. And let them know Jesus loves you, because he does. He's loving them through you. Amen?
You may be seated for the Lord's Supper. Those of you who do not have your elements, your cup, go ahead and get one. Those at home, prepare for the Lord's Supper. I want to say that Pastor Bird pretty much has already given the word for the Lord's Supper. So I'll just try to flow with that word with just a few passages. In John 17, he was speaking about the fact that we have been given to Jesus as a gift, and that Jesus in turn takes the gift that we are and presents that gift to the Father. And that really brings to my mind Isaiah 53, and that's an appropriate passage to look at for the Lord's Supper. So let's go to Isaiah 53. Now we know there's a lot in Isaiah 53 that has to do with Jesus' carrying our sins, our weaknesses, and bringing us forgiveness and healing. So we'll start at Isaiah 53, verse 4. This is the servant of the Lord is being described. Surely he has borne our griefs, 53:4 says. He has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. A number of words there are mentioned in the Hebrew that deal with different aspects of sin. In verse 5, where it says he was pierced for our transgressions, transgression is a term that describes one of the most serious sins in Scripture. It could say he was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was pierced for our apostasy. Those are serious words. Transgression means rebellion. It's the probably the most serious of sins. It is shaking your fist in the face of God. It is direct rebellion against the person of the Lord. And that sin is mentioned frequently in Isaiah 53. We'll see it. He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquity, the Hebrew word, has to do with the consequences of sin. It could be translated liability. We have a liability because of our sin, a liability to God, because our sin ultimately is against Him, but our liability to each other, because our sins cause harm and damage to others. But He was pierced for our in-the-face rebellion of God. He was crushed for the consequences of our sin upon God and His purposes and His kingdom, upon each other, upon ourselves. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us. I mean, what should rebellion in the face of God bring us? What should iniquity bring us? Well, all of these things came on Jesus, and we are given shalom, peace, access to the blessings of God because of Him. And with His wounds, we are healed. One of the consequences of sin is death, sickness, mental illness, demonic oppression. But by His wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way. Every one of us, as Chuck Porter would say, translate, what does every one of us mean in the Hebrew? It's pretty clear. Every one of us. We have turned every one of us to his own way. No one is more or less turned away from God than the other. And this is where, of course, self-righteousness comes in. Scripture says, let God be true and all men liars. And see, when we make the sin of somebody else greater than our own sin, we have basically put ourselves in a position that we say, let God be a liar, let everybody else be a liar, but I alone am true. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. In the midst of all the injustice taking place upon Him, what was Jesus' response? He opened not His mouth. Somebody looks cross at us and we scream for vengeance.
Yeah. Come on.
Jesus kept His mouth shut. That's how a man, He was the God-man, but this is how a man trusts in the living God. He keeps His mouth shut in the midst of injustice, knowing that the just God, the righteous God, will vindicate him. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, He opened not His mouth. The sacrificial animal, silent before the animal itself becomes the sacrifice. By oppression and judgment He was taken away, and as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living? Cut off, unique word in Hebrew. It means to be executed for sin, but it's also the same word that's used to cut a covenant. Incredible word, an incredible word. Jesus being executed for our sin was also cutting a covenant for us. He was cut off of the land of the living, stricken for, and watch how many times transgression is mentioned, because the issue here is transgression. The issue here is this in-the-face rebellion to God. Stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, with a rich man in his death, though he is neither wicked nor rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. The Lord has put him to grief. When he, the Lord, makes the servant's soul a guilt offering, an offering for sin. There's the third word for sin. The third word for sin is just the fact that we as human beings always go astray. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God means there's something within us that moves us to go astray automatically. Going astray is our default switch. Turning to the Lord is His work. It's the work of His grace. So when He, the Father, makes His soul, the Son, a guilt offering, a sin offering, He shall see His offspring. He shall prolong His days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Out of the anguish of His soul, He shall see and be satisfied. The he is ambiguous here. Does it mean God will see and be satisfied? Does it mean the suffering servant who becomes the guilt offering is satisfied? It means both. By His knowledge, by the revelation of this Isaiah 53 suffering servant to us, by the revelation of Him, shall the righteous one, my servant, and here's the key word that I want to focus on as we go to partake of the Lord's table. Three times it will be mentioned at this point. He shall make the many to be accounted righteous. All of a sudden, the many. Remember Isaiah's book starts? Remember the vision of the Lord in Isaiah 6? I see the Lord high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. And the Lord says, who will go for me? Whom shall I send? And the servant, Isaiah there says, send me, Lord, send me. And the Lord says, okay, go and cause those who don't see not to see. Cause those who don't hear to not hear. Cause those who are turned away from me to be turned away from me. And you're looking at that. And then it says, and then it likens the ministry of Isaiah to take the tree of Israel and cut it down to a stump and then even cut the stump away. Wait a second, Lord. And then it talks about these little sprouts at the bottom of the stump will sprout up to life. So at the start of the book of Isaiah, the ministry of the prophet is to deal with the few. Everybody's going to get cut off. Everybody's going to get cut away. There might be a handful of people left. But then in 2 Isaiah, the second part of Isaiah, the suffering servant comes forth, the servant of the Lord, and now it's the many. See, we, at our best, create the few. We get the few discipled to the Lord. But He, when He works, it's about the many. By the revelation of His person, shall my righteous one, my servant, make the many to be accounted righteous. See, what Jesus does reverses what we do. That's the whole issue of this. We're His friends, you better believe it. And He's got a lot of friends. He shall make the many to be accounted righteous, for He shall bear their iniquities. Back to the issue of the damage caused by sin. By His bearing the damage, He turns, by His bearing our damage, the damage that we effect on our lives and the lives of those around us and on God's purposes and kingdom, the damage that we cause, He puts upon Himself and makes us the many who shall be accounted righteous because He shall bear their iniquities. And then a powerful, powerful passage. And this is John 17. This connected me with what Bird was saying in John 17. We are the gift that the Father gives to the Son. We're His gift. And He in turn then takes that gift and offers it back to the Father. Therefore, I will divide for him the many as his portion, the many as his spoils of war. God the Father looks at the suffering of the Son, of the suffering of the servant, and gives us the many to him as the portion that he wins because he won the battle. Because he poured out his soul to death, and here we have transgressors again, and was numbered with those who are executed because of their rebellion in the face of God. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, and for the third time in several verses, yet he bore the sins of the many. He bore that wandering spirit within us that moves automatically toward failure. Yet he bore the sin of the many. Transgression, iniquity, sin. He deals with it all. And he makes intercession for the transgressors. He bore the sin of the many. And in bearing the sin of the many, he himself became an intercessory prayer for the rebels, for the apostates. When you're thinking about, oh, this person's so bad, punish him, Lord. Well, Jesus became an intercessory prayer on behalf of the rebellious. He didn't say, punish them, Father, they deserve it. He became the intercessory prayer when he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So go with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, the communion passage. And I want you to see, as always, Jesus uses the Old Testament scripture to inform him of his ministry, to shape his ministry, to teach us what his ministry was about, to define his ministry. And when we look at the meal for the Last Supper, Jesus said this, Mark 14, 22. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many. He was making a reference to, he is the servant of the Lord in Isaiah 53. When we partake of the body and blood of the Lord, we are declaring, we are proclaiming to the world, we are the many. Yes. His body and his blood gives us life and healing and purification and forgiveness. It's saying we are his friends. Yes. It's saying we are his portion. We are the ones that the Father gave as a gift to the Son. Now, you see, this is the basis of consecrated living. The basis of consecrated living isn't get your life right or you're going to hell. The basis of consecrated living is you're the many. You're his inheritance. You're the gift that the Father has given to the Son. Now live as if that's true. Jesus believes it's true. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're declaring, as often as you do these things, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We're proclaiming it to the world. Partaking of his body and blood. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for the many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And even though he was going to die, even though he understood he was bearing our iniquities and our infirmities and bearing our transgressions and bearing the penalty for our sin and becoming the guilt offering for our sin, he knew he was headed to drink and eat in the presence of his Father in the kingdom of God. He understood who he was. He understood what he was doing. He understood where he was going. So, Lord, as we partake of your body and blood, this is what I would ask, Lord. Do we know who we are? Do we know what we are doing? And do we know where we are going? We partake of your body and blood because you knew. And may your body and blood purge us, cleanse us, heal us, deliver us, and let us know we're not trying to be the many. We are the many because it is by the revelation of my righteous one, the revelation of my servant, by his knowledge, my servant, my righteous one, will make many righteous. Thank you for your body. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your blood in Jesus' name. Pray it. Amen. Pastor Mariusz is here from by way of Canada. And he's going to be sharing the word with us for the first time in several years. So we'll be welcoming him shortly.
Oh. Now I can hear myself. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe we're going to have a lot of fun today. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Today I want to share a small testimony of mine, what happened a year ago, and some statements I want to give you, controversial statements, to make a point. And I believe God's going to have a fun with us. Amen. Hallelujah. We always ask questions. God, why? That's my question. I always ask God, why? Why? What is going on? He laughs at me all the time. It doesn't really matter why. He never answered that question. But last year, I seriously asking God, and I was praying and praying and praying. And I was asking him, why things happen? What's going on? And then I went to Alberta in Canada. It's a province in Alberta to minister in the First Nation, and we had a tremendous time over there. I was coming back home, and I left my car on the parking in the airport. And I was driving from Toronto to Windsor, and I was praying in tongues. I was praying in tongues a lot. Then I believe after 1 hour or so, I got tired. You know, when you talk and you get tired. And then I stopped. And then the Holy Spirit started to inspiring me in a different way. And I started to pray in Polish, a little bit English, and I started to pray, Lord, your grace is my grace. And I've never prayed like this. Never. And then the Holy Spirit says, pray, your love is my love. And then your authority is my authority. And then that was go on and on and on. Your mercy is my mercy. And after 15 minutes of praying like this, driving on a highway, remember, I was driving on a highway, around 70, 75 miles an hour on a cruise control. And I was happy driver, praying. And suddenly, I coughed like, and I was blank. I did a blackout. I didn't see anything. And I was aware of everything where I was driving, and I said, okay, I can't open my eyes. What is going on? Lord, that's it with my life. That is the end. And I was holding the steering wheel, and I was like, what's going on? What's going on? I tried to open my eyes, and everything was blurry, like shaking. I didn't know. In a spirit, I knew something is going on. And after, I don't know how many seconds, I could open my eyes. I was on the line, and I saw a truck in front of me, still on the cruise control. And then after a while, I came to my senses, and I was fine. And from that moment, the Holy Spirit started to showing me things I knew about it. And what I'm going to share with you, you know it very well. You were taught about it very well. So let's open 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 17. And it says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Let's say it together. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I had notes 20-something years ago. I did those notes about who we are in Christ. Intellectually, I knew. But suddenly, the Holy Spirit showing me really who we are. Who we really are. And then he showed me this verse. And he said, you see, who you are with me, we are one spirit. We are not. Holy Spirit is in your spirit on left side and your spirit on the right side. You are one with God. And he said, that's why my mercy is your mercy. My power is your power. My authority is your authority. But you're not aware of it. You think you have to beg me for something. You already got it. In your spirit. And I was like, whoa. Really? Yes, really. One day, I'm not lying. God is my witness. I was praying in my bedroom. And I was praying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done on the cross. Thank you that you healed me. By your stripe, I was healed. And suddenly, the presence of God came. And physically, the Holy Spirit put hands here on me. And he said, straight it up. I want you to be bold in front of my throne. Oh, I'm sorry. I just messed up. I forgot about when we have this. Usually, I don't record myself. You know, I'm not a YouTuber. You know, and you know what? That was crazy. I was kind of afraid. Like, what? Why? And he said, you have to be bold. Not bald, bold. I'm already bald. And he said, that's how you're supposed to pray. With boldness. Demanding. And we come to God. We come like, oh Lord, I'm sorry. But I'm alive. I'm sorry. Oh, I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. And you know what? Lord is not pleased with this. There is a time for begging. There is it. The Bible says this. But most of the time, he wants to see our boldness. He wants to see you fight. Remind yourself how you were praying without the knowledge of Bible in the beginning of your Christian life. Remember. And how you pray now. And you pray. So many Christians, like old Christians, I mean old Christians, pray, Lord, thank you. I beg you, heal this person and heal this person. Command is already done on the cross. It's done. It's the matter if you receive it or not, if you believe it or not. That's what the Holy Spirit started to show me, like boom, 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 boom. That's who you are. You know what? In your spirit, you have everything. We have spirit, we have soul, and we have flesh. In your spirit, you have everything. In your soul, you can be stupid as you were before you came to the Lord. And you know what? In your spirit, you have what? The whole scriptures. You, in your spirit, there is the fruits of the spirit. And there is what? The gifts of the spirit. It's up to Holy Spirit how he wants to use you. But you have everything. You are like a what? Superman in the spirit. That's a metaphor if you don't know, you know. But that's who you are. That's who you are. We think we are just, an accident. Just, Lord, you are born again from the uncorrupted Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You know what? You are a son of, you're not the son of God. You are a son of God. You inherited everything. Thing, his authority, his love, everything you have inside of you. So you're saying, why I have to read the Bible? Because your soul, your mind is not changed. And you read the Bible, you study the Bible, you pray, and you're changing your mind. You're changing your mind. And you know, I'm gonna tell you something. When your mind and your spirit line up together, if faith booms, and this flesh must obey. But we give up. We don't look at this way. We look at the church, at the people in a real life, in this world. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the scripture says. Amen. If you are sick, you're not supposed to see yourself sick. You're supposed to see yourself healed. In a spirit world, everything is done. In a spirit world, there are angels around. You don't see this. In a spirit world, you are wonderful. You are a new creature, new species. You are completely new. Amen? You are of God. Basically, we're living in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be aware of it all the time. Not once a week on Sundays in the church. If we are aware of the spiritual things, of the spiritual realm, you see your brother full of glory. In the spirit, he is. In the flesh, he could be foolish. But in the spirit, he is son of God and daughter of God. He may not use his authority. God gave it to him. God gave it to us. We have it. We are not aware of it. And if you are not aware of it, you cannot use it. You cannot use it. God gave us authority to cast out demons, heal the sick. Amen. And you know what he said? Do you remember that story when apostles came to the temple and they saw a sick man and they said, I don't have gold, I don't have silver. But what I have, he didn't say what God has. He said, what I have, I give it to you. Get up. And you know what Jesus said? Don't pray, God, heal him. He said, you heal him. You have power inside of you. It's not your power. It's my power. But you do it. But we are afraid of criticism. We are afraid to be foolish. We are afraid to be criticized by other people. And we cannot be used by God. Because we think more about ourselves. And that's pride. And that's pride. A pride is when you look at yourself and you don't see yourself as God sees you. That's pride. But God gave us a power to be humble, like Jesus. We got the same spirit. We are born of it. And we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of it. And I'm telling, and the Lord just, he led me in my prayer room and he said, pray. I am a son of God. And I was praying, I am a son of God. I have authority. And I was confused. I didn't know why. And the problem is, we cannot be used by God if we don't know who we are. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Moses said, I am the most meekest man. He wrote it down. If you don't have that knowledge inside of you, you can be used from time to time. He wants you to know that you have everything. that you have everything in your life. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God dwells in you. You are born of Him. Hallelujah. But we pretend to be very humble and we just pray, you know, I don't have power over it. You know, I can't do anything, you know. It's life, but I have to say it. I have to say it. Pastor can correct it after. Often we say, God is in control. I say, God is in control. But this is not entirely true. He doesn't control you. He doesn't control you. You have your free will. It's up to you. The fellowship with the Holy Spirit is up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. If God gave you gifts and you do not want to be used, it's up to you. It's up to you. Hallelujah. In general, yes, God controls everything. But at least He doesn't control you. He doesn't control you. Look at Christians. Divided. Divided. Because of vaccine, not vaccine, because of the politics. We are not of this kingdom. Why there is division? Why? Because you submitted to it. God didn't do it. You did it. He doesn't control you. You have the word of God. And you have to fight. You have to fight with the devil. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good, you know. God is good. We create war. We create division. And don't blame devil. We do it. When I listen sometimes politics on the YouTube, Christian politics, it's a headache. How many Christians talk about the politics instead of the kingdom of God? Amen? How many Christians talk about the sickness instead of healing? And we surprise. After that, what is going on? The church is shaking. Yes. Everything shakes because we're not following the word of God. We're following our desires. We're following doubt. Doubt. You know what that statement, God control everything, makes so many damages. Christians say, whatever will be, will be. God is in control. Really? No, it's up to you what's going to happen in your life. It's up to you. God gave you everything on the cross. He paid the price. He gave you everything. Everything. It's up to you. If you're going to fight against the devil, and say it, payback time. Payback time. Remember beginnings. Remember how you were praying in the beginning and how you pray now. Do you fight? We are constantly at war with the devil, and he spreads doubt and unbelief among the Christians. We have to fight it and say, that's it. No more. Payback time. Payback time. Christians are afraid to fight. You know that? You know that? We're supposed to pray and say, that's it. That's it. But I don't have power. Ah, no, that's a lie. That's, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have everything what you need to stand against sickness, to stand against the power of the devil. Everything. But we're afraid. Oh, we come to church. Oh, we're going to have a good time. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And we go home and we blah, blah, blah. Nothing more than blah and blah. Come on. We as a church, we're supposed to wake up finally. But I don't see. I pray I don't see the results. That's the idea of walking in faith. You walk in faith. You don't have to see. Hallelujah. But I'm still sick. So what? You are a Christian. Be thankful that you were healed on the cross. And learn how to receive it. Learn how to receive it by faith. I was sick. I had problem with my skin. I'm clear. Nothing. Nothing. We have to fight. We have to fight. Church is called to fight. Not to sit. Not to sit. To fight. Amen? Remember who you are. It's not a symbol lion and things like this. Remember who you are. No, it's who you really are. You are so powerful. God gave it to you. This is the gift from Him. We heard today that what? That we inherited everything from Jesus. Amen? Inheritance brings everything. Authority, power, love, mercy, everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Let's open 1 Peter. 1 Peter. I'm not finishing. No, I can go today. First Peter verse chapter 2 and verse 9. And it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Who you are? Royal priesthood. You are a king. You are a king. The Holy Spirit led me in my prayer. Pray, I am king. And I prayed, I am king. And now He said, you pray, I am the Lord. And I pray, I am Lord. And I was blown away. What is going on? That's who you are in the Spirit. That's why people call me King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who you think you are? King and Lord. In the Spirit, in the flesh, you can be nothing. But in the Spirit, you are kings. Hallelujah. That's why it says, I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And it doesn't say about those kings outside. It's about you. You are king. You are sons and daughters of Him. You are royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And it's not a joke. That's a reality. That's reality. That's who you are. Glory to God. God is good. God gave us everything what we need. You know what? Let's open. That would be Ephesians, I believe. Ephesians, yes. Ephesians. Chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You are blessed. You have every spiritual blessing. You have everything. Everything to walk with God. In victory. In victory. You have everything. And you know what? Here in this verse, you know better than me, but they used past perfect tense. It means it's done. You have everything what you need. Amen? Hallelujah. Everything. But you are not aware of it. And you're not using it. You pray, oh Lord, give me this. Oh, you pray, oh, do this, do that. You do it. You do it, you lazy. You lazy son of God. You do it. Start fighting. Start fighting. Start do something. That's what it is. That's what it is. Hallelujah. We have to realize in the spirit we are completely different people. That's why he said, change your mind through the word of God. Look at the word of God and follow this. Don't follow what you see. Follow the word of God, what is written. Ephesians 2, 5, 6, it says we sit in the heavenly places. Second, 5 and 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. In a spiritual world, we sit in the heavenly places. You know what it means? It means we sit with Christ. It means we have tremendous authority. In a spiritual world, demons are shaking. When you're aware of it, when you walk and have fellowship with God, demons shakes. Whoa. No, please don't cast me out. Don't cast me out. But you have to be aware of it. If you are not aware, he said, who you are? Who you are? I know Paul, I know Peter, who you are. I don't know you. I can do whatever I want. That's why we need fellowship with Holy Spirit all the time. We have to fight for it. We have to fight with the devil. We have to fight for a people we lost. And we have to say, payback time. Payback time, devil. Payback time. Hallelujah. Lord is good. And you have that power. You have everything. 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 You know what? You have love. It says in Romans 5:5 that the Lord poured all the love through the Holy Spirit to you. You have it, but you don't use it because you are aware more of your flesh, of your soul, than of your spirit. And it's a constant battle between spirit and flesh. And you already won the battle. Jesus did it for you. You have to fight it. You have to fight it. Don't be a lazy Christian. Come on. Isn't it true? It's easier. It's easier to just lay down on the couch and get some cheap potatoes and just, oh, I'm so good a Christian, you know. I'm so nice. No. It's a fight, constant fight. Hallelujah. Lord is so good. Many of you can say, oh, I failed. I failed because this, you know what? In the eyes of men, Jesus failed. But then in the spirit world, he won everything. In the eyes of men, Apostle Paul failed. All the time in the jail. Churches left him. He was quite alone. But in the spirit world, he was a giant. He was a giant. Amen? In the eyes of men, we can be nothing. But in the eyes of God, we are winners. We are winners. But you say, how many people left this church? I don't care. That's his church. That's his church. And as long as I don't quit, I'm a winner. Amen? I'm a winner. And I'm going to fight till the end. Hallelujah. Fighting. That's the sign of believing. And that's not like, oh, Lord, we believe. You know when you believe? When you are thankful while you are sick. That's the faith. I'm thankful. I am healed. Because that's what the word says, eh? That's a fight. I am thankful, Lord Jesus, that this church is full of people. That's a faith. That's a fight. And don't tell me the church is empty. Well, brother, you go somewhere. This is not true. Really. You know what? Facts doesn't mean it's a truth. Facts are not the truth. The truth is you were healed by his stripes. I want to share you with one verse. I don't remember if I wrote it down. Let's open 2 Kings. That verse changed a lot in my life. 2 Kings. Chapter 6. And verses 15 to 18. And it's about the king of Syria. It's about the war. And there was Elisha and his servant. And it says, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. When the Lord opened the eyes of a young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. If you look at only what you see, you missed everything. It may be a fact, but the truth was, in this situation, there was a whole army of God around. And that's the truth. The sickness is a lie. The truth was and is, you were healed. I couldn't comprehend it before. Finally, because of these verses, Lord showed me, doesn't matter what you see. It matters what you don't see. What is written. What is written. Hallelujah. That's how we're supposed to follow the Word of God. That's why so many people give up. In Christian world, so many people give up. So many people walk faithless. Whatever will be, will be. It's like puking around, to tell you the truth. How you can say that? Fight. You were called to fight. We are at war. Hallelujah. You are called to fight. Hallelujah. God is so good. You know what? When I drove that night, no, I'm sorry, that was a different day. And I was receiving thoughts from the Holy Spirit. And one moment he said, if people think that I don't want to heal them, you can always say, how dare you? How dare you think like this? How dare you think like this? He went on the cross. He paid the price. It's done deal. It's done deal. It's up to you. It's up to you. You fight. Till the end. Till the end. Wherever it happens, you fight. You don't have to see it. That's why you are called Christians. Walking by faith. Walking by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. God is so good. He gave us all weapons. He gave us everything. Everything we need. We have authority. We have power. We have love. We have mercy. We can be meek if we choose. We can cast out demons left and right if we choose. If we are aware, you see, servant of God, servant of Elisha, was not aware of the spiritual world. He was aware of this world. But Elisha was aware constantly what's in the spirit. In the spirit, there's an army. In the spirit, there are angels. In the spirit, we won. We won. We won. Hallelujah. We're supposed to follow the word of God. Don't follow what you see. That's what he taught me. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter. Look who you are, what you can do. You can do a lot of things. You can fight with the devil and say, give it back. What you stolen. Give it back. Now. Hundredfold. Whatever. Give it back. But it's up to us. Praying to God, oh Lord, do something. Revival. Revive yourself. Stir up your spirit. Start fighting. Start saying, I am a winner. I am a son of God. I am a king. Not the king. I'm a king. I'm a son. Hallelujah. In your spirit, you are so wonderful. I'm telling you, full of glory. Full of glory. Hallelujah. He loved us so much. He's so pleased when he watches you. Unbelievable. And in the same time, he's like, why he doesn't use this? We got to do something about it. Why he doesn't use this? We supposed to look at ourselves as he sees us. Really. And I, from that moment, to tell you the truth, when he showed me this, I'm not afraid. I am a son of God. I can say I'm son of God. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Spirit. As we sang a song, Lord, fill me. You know what the Bible says? Pray, sing a song, speak as the Bible speaks, and you will be filled. Hallelujah. It's up to you. If you're going to sit on the couch watching TV, and you're going to sit somewhere and talk rubbish with brothers and sisters, you're going to pray all the time, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. But when you stop, be lazy. Start fighting, quoting the word of God, praying. You will be like, whoa, so many things are around me. People don't see it, but I see it. Yeah. And I started to see so many things in my life. Hallelujah. I want you to open another. I'm sorry, but you have to read it. Matthew 11. It takes time, but you know, you're supposed to love it. Matthew 11:11, and it says, surely I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence taken by force. This is in red. This is Jesus speaking. You are greater than John Baptist. It's not me. That's what it says. You are greater than John Baptist. Because you are born of God. He wasn't. You are born of God. You are greater than John the Baptist. Can you realize this? Can you realize? I'm a Superman in the spirit. Look who I am. Look who you are. You are greater than the John the Baptist. Unbelievable, eh? That's why you fail. Because you don't want to believe it. You are greater. Hallelujah. Be aware of it. Realize that. And it says, be violent. Be violent. In your prayer, be violent. Take it by force. Don't be lululu and banana, I don't know. Be violent. Fight. Demand things. But we want to be so humble. And in the same, we are just growing in pride. We want to be so humble and, oh Lord, no, I can't. I'm afraid of doing this. I'm nothing. I'm just, this is, you are not nothing. You are somebody. in the spirit. You are somebody. You're significant. In the flesh, you're nobody. But in the spirit, you are somebody. You have everything what you need to fight that fight. Hallelujah. If Jesus said that I'm a greater than John the Baptist, then I say, oh, ha-ha, then I am. And I'm not afraid to say it. I am greater. Hallelujah. He didn't cast out demons. I did. And I do. I got authority. Hallelujah. I got authority to speak. I got authority to say things. You know what? Bible says, you speak to the mountain. Not God. You speak if you have a faith. The mountain will remove. You speak. Not God. You speak against sickness. Not God. You do it. He gave us power to stay humble. To stay humble in the same time. Hallelujah. God is so good. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. You know what? Before I came, I just... God gave me a word for dear brother, this man with prefix t-shirt, and he wants to tell you. You were called to encourage people. And he says, I wanted more of you. I want you to encourage people. Because your last days are awfully blessed. Awfully blessed. Encourage people even more. I want more of you. Hallelujah. Your spirit is like a full of encouragement. Hallelujah. Awfully blessed, man. Unbelievable. I'm happy for, you know what? I'm so happy for ministers. I pray for ministers. I pray for people who speak the word of God. This is so important, you know. This is so important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. I hope you had a fun. And I hope you are blessed. But we have to realize we are not of this world. We are not called to be politicians. We are not called to do things, I don't know, or doesn't matter. I am of other world. And he's so good to me. And he's so good to you. I fight from the position of kingdom of God, not from the position of this world. Amen? Hallelujah. Remember, he doesn't control you. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's your choice. Yes. It's your choice. You decide to come to church. Those people who are, I don't know, in front of the Facebook, I don't know where it's going on there, but you're supposed to be here, not on the other side. This is the place we're supposed to lay hands on each other. This is the place we're supposed to pray for one another. This is the place we're supposed to encourage one another. This is the place we're supposed to show love. This is the place we're supposed to fight for each other, not be divided. Not be divided. And you have power inside of you. You are actually spirit inside. You have everything. And as a Christians, what we do? What we do? We submit to devil and resist God. I'm sorry to saying this. We're supposed to submit to God and resist the devil. And it's up to you. If you are a cause of division, it's up to you. And I'm sorry, but I'm not condemning anyone. This is not a condemnation. We all have to realize God has done everything for us. Use it. In the right way, use it. Hallelujah. You are so wonderful. Really. I believe, you know what? I believe that God has wonderful things for you. But you have to start fighting. Serious fight. A serious fight. You know what? The kindergarten of in the kingdom of God ended. He needs professionals. He needs people who are devoted. Devoted and say, no, devil, that's it. Now, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fight. You are defeated. Know your place. Know your place. Hallelujah. Because you have that authority. Hallelujah. Amen. And I wanna just tell you that there is a glory of God. And you carry this glory. You carry as a new creation. You carry this glory. Because you are so wonderful. Treat each other as a son of God. Sons of God. You are a son of God and daughters of God, of course. Hallelujah. Remember beginnings. Do you know that I remember this? I always go back. I was doing stupid things. Stupid. Oh, come on. Casting out demons. Everywhere, man. Everywhere. I was looking for a demons. But I was fighting. Fighting. He likes foolish people, you know? He likes them. For some reason. Be foolish for God. I'm not saying looking for demons all the time. No. Just every other day. But start fighting. You will see results. Even if you don't see, fight till the end. Because you walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? God bless you. And thank you. Thank you.
Let me close. I want to pray. Thank you for that word, Mariusz. You know, I've said a number of times from the pulpit recently, three words, never give up. I made a foolish statement that the closest I can find to the unpardonable sin, what's the unpardonable sin? Giving up. We never give up. We do not walk according to human perceptions. Whether something's working or not in the flesh, we know Christ has accomplished, and we never give up. We fight, but again, we don't fight against flesh and blood.
That's right.
Now, you can fight against yourself. If you want to fight against yourself, go right ahead and fight against yourself. But when we are constantly, and this is what's going on in the church right now, We are constantly fighting with each other. The devil is laughing at us. The devil's standing back and laughing at us. He doesn't even have to do anything while we're fighting against each other. We fight against him. We fight against him, and we never give up on people. When I hear people say, this person is a this, and this, and you've cut that person off because they don't agree with you about this or that, or they've done this or that to you, that is not the battle that Christ has called us to wage war in. We battle for people, not against people. We battle against the devil, and we battle against sin in our own life. You want to battle against someone? I mean, it's like, gosh, you're spending a lot of time battling against this person and this view and this perspective and that perspective. How about spending time looking in the mirror? You can battle against yourself so that you can walk as we've been exhorted to walk, in faith, in God's grace, in God's power. We talked about Ephesians on the Wednesday night class. We said the book of Ephesians is divided into sit, walk, and stand. Mario's pointed out chapter 2, sit. We are seated in the heavenly places. You start with your identity in Christ. Then in chapter 4, you walk worthy of the calling with which you're called. How do you walk worthy? By understanding your identity in Christ, by understanding who you are, and then beginning to walk that identity out. And then third, chapter 6, you stand against powers and principalities. You make war, you battle. You understand your identity, you walk out that identity, and then you make war against powers and principalities, not flesh and blood. Yeah. And one thing the devil is doing in the earth right now with the church is he's causing the church to waste its energy fighting against each other. So, Father, we want to close with this prayer to seal what was shared today, Lord. We thank you for this word, who we are in Christ, seeing Jesus for who he is, not only seeing Jesus, but seeing what Jesus saw. We need to see what Jesus sees. So we see him, and then we see what he sees. We see him, that's our identity in Christ. We see what he sees, that's our walk. And then, Lord, you open our eyes like you opened Elisha's servant to see the spirit realm. That's standing. We sit, we walk, we stand. We see Jesus, and we're seated in the heavenly places with him, and we see what he's accomplished for us. We see what he sees, and we walk worthy according to the calling that he's given us. We see what he sees. We put off the old man, and we put on the new man. It's like it's a clothes change, Lord. When we're walking in the flesh, change that garment. Just take it off and put on the garment of the new man created in righteousness in Christ. And then we see the heavenly realm the way it is, Lord God, and we take a stand against powers and principalities, Lord. So open our eyes that we may see, O God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus, who you have made us to be in Christ. We walk in that authority. We walk in that authority, O God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We walk in that authority, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Bless your church, O God. May we bear the witness to you, Lord God, that you have created us to bear, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that power. Thank you for that authority. Thank you for that righteousness. Thank you for that grace. Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, not that we might get it one day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given it to us now, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.